You're listening to JS Party, a weekly celebration of JavaScript and the web. This episode features a Changelog Plus bonus.
What?
That's our membership program where you can directly support our work, make the ads disappear, and get exclusive access to bonus segments like the one at the end of this very episode. Learn all about it at changelog.com/plus. Quick thanks to our partners for helping us bring you awesome pods each and every week. Fastly.com, fly.io, and typesense.org. Okay, let's do this. It's party time, y'all. Hello, hello to the internet, to all of our awesome JS Party listeners. I am your friend, Jared, and I am joined today by my friend, Amel. What is going on, Amel?
Hi, everyone. So excited about today's show. I think I say that every time, but still, very excited.
You do. You're keeping the streak alive. I'm waiting for the moment when we come out and you're like, I just don't want to be here, and I am not excited, and I can't wait for the show to be over. And that'll be a day.
That'll be the day.
I'm excited, too, because we're here to take you not to Funky Town, but to Val Town, and we're joined by Val creator Steve. His friends call him Stevie. We're going to call him Steve for the first half of the show, and hopefully we'll get to Stevie by the end. What's up, Steve? Welcome.
Thanks. I'm doing well. We'll see how it goes. Stevie's for my close friends, but
okay.
You know, maybe we'll see.
We'll set up some kind of a code word or something that you can say to consent to the Stevie, and then we'll switch when we hear it. But for now, Steve, welcome. Valtown, gosh, it looks like a really cool thing. It's one of these ideas where I just landed on the website and it just immediately connected with me, so much so that I covered it in our Changelog News podcast and newsletter. Because right when you land, it says, if GitHub gists could run and AWS Lambda were fun. And I just realized after saying it aloud, it also rhymes. So bonus points for having a good tagline that rhymes. And as we all know, if something rhymes, it has to be true. I've heard that somewhere once. So this connected with me.
Oh, hold on. I think I've been saying your tagline wrong, because in my head I've been reading it as, and if AWS Lambdas were fun. So can we settle it here? Is Lambda already plural, or like, because yeah, there is no S here.
That's true.
Yeah. I think about it without an S, but yeah, you're right. We make gists plural.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. Good copy editing.
Okay. Excellent. Possibly. Yay.
Well, there we go. We already fixed something. A controversy here. Is it Lambda or Lambdas? Most of mine are Lambdon't, because I was so annoyed by the platform. When I tried it, this was early days, that I just kind of went back to my old school way of doing things. And yet here we are with a great concept. So share it, Steve. The overall concept, of course, we did the tagline, but why don't you give it more words, flesh it out, what you're trying to do with Valtown?
Yeah. So Valtown is a social website where you can write, run, deploy, share, schedule code. And we try to make simple things easy and more complicated things possible. And we're starting with use cases that are around like light computation, maybe integrations, prototypes of APIs. And we want to make that really good and fun and quick to do. But the dream, the long-term dream, is to scale up to be a full back-end kind of replacement. But we hope to get there over time.
Where did this idea come from?
I guess pieces of this idea I've been working on for years. I've been a big developer tools fan for many years. But this company really was instigated by this investor that I became friendly with. He is an investor in a lot of other DevTools companies. And I just worked on a DevTools project that was trying to be a company, but it didn't work out. And I was asking him for ideas, and he had one. And his original pitch for Valtown was, isn't it sad that there's dead code on the internet? Just like code in like just syntax highlighted code, just like in a blog, in API documentation on Stack Overflow, and it just doesn't run. Like you have to like copy and paste it somewhere, and then you have to install stuff. It's just like the loss of composability because there's dead code on the internet. Just is like this. It's a bigger tragedy than you might think. At least that's what we believe.
Why so tragic? What's such a tragedy about it? Copy paste is easy.
Well, so where are you copying and pasting it? There are like, I think in terms of like a recent example of this, maybe you've seen like these kind of memes of like someone texting their developer friend like, oh, like ChatGPT is writing me all this code. Your job is done. And then like a couple seconds later, the friend texts them, but wait, where do I put this code?
Right.
So I think like particularly for beginner programmers, like where do you put the code? How do you get the code to run? How do you get your development environment set up? Like a lot of the questions that Replit solves really well, or even Code Sandbox or JS Fiddle, Valtown also is kind of going at that slice of the problem. Like just like load a URL and then you're going. You don't have to figure out the environment as well as the code.
Yeah, I appreciate that analogy a lot. There's a great quote on your website from someone who was complimenting Valtown that said, it's a practical middle option for not going too enterprisey, in quotes, Lambda, or too consumer, in parentheses, Zapier, right? Or Zapier. I've never been able to, I don't know what
the, I don't know either.
Yeah, this is another like
pick one and stick
babble, babble, like yeah, so many debates on this. But I love that analogy of like something in between AWS Lambda and Zapier. So could you kind of just like walk us through the landscape of like what like core problems Valtown sets out to create, like solve, besides just code execution, which you said that like you can do on Sandbox, Code Sandbox, or Replit.
Yeah, so Valtown, it's server-side compute. So like some people like to think of us as like CodePen for the backend or JS Fiddle for the backend. So in that way, we're a lot like Replit, but we're a lot smaller, more composable snippets. So in that way, like Twitter has been a big inspiration for us. Like each Val is like a tweet-sized thing. And then they compose up really well in the same way that you would make a tweet thread. Instead of one big tweet, it's like a tweet thread. And then each tweet can be individually liked, commented, retweeted. So Vals can all be individually versioned, referenced, imported, commented on. You know, we just added comments. You can comment on other people's Vals. But anyways, so in terms of that landscape of like on the one hand, you have AWS Lambda, which is totally scalable, but really hard to use. And on the other hand, you have Zapier, which is just no code. Valtown really sits in the middle in this weird way, like particularly for programmers. If you're a programmer and your natural way of thinking about automation is in code, I think Valtown is kind of designed for you. A couple of years ago, like before this company, like I tweeted about, tweets are cool, they have timestamps. I tweeted like, wouldn't it be cool if there was something like Zapier, but it felt more like a programming language? And I think at the time, the thing I was really focused on was getting all of your keys. Like the main value in Zapier is that you like press a button and you can OAuth flow, like authorize your Gmail account. And then you can like send emails from your Zapier or just any service. You can just press a button and then the keys are injected into Zapier. And now you can do more things with that. So at the time I was focused on that in a programming environment. And we have vague notions of that in Valtown. We haven't built it yet. It just like hasn't been the bottleneck, it seems. Like if you're someone who's writing code anyways, like clicking a couple buttons, like copy a developer token into your app, into your Valtown keys, isn't the main thing. The main thing that Valtown is good at is bringing everything to your fingertips. At least that's how some of our users describe it, and I like to think about it. Like you can write a bunch of utility functions for yourself. Other Valtown users are writing utility functions. And then whenever you want to do a thing, like the first thing you should do is kind of search and see if someone else in Valtown has already done that thing. Like I was playing with the Discord API today, and so like instead of like parsing through the documentation, I just searched for the word Discord and like someone else had already made that API call that I wanted to do. And I could just, so the thing about Valtown is that like I can use that code and I can be sure that it's going to work because it already has worked in the Valtown environment. That's like the magic of everyone shares the same runtime.
Right.
And like you just said, like a really important keyword there, which is, I think that's like the secret sauce to all this, right? Is being able to actually have a controlled environment and execution context. And so unlike kind of things that are limited to just client side, like Code Sandbox or old school JS Fiddle or whatever, right? These are kind of just running in the browser. You're able to kind of leverage storage of like variables and like you can kind of keep state, like kind of, you can also carry state throughout different executions. And so I'm just, can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Persistence is definitely something that we are good at. We're regretting some of the choices we made and we're looking to make them. I'll tell you what it looks like now. So what it looks like now is Valtown from one vowel, you can reference another vowel state. So the way that works is if I'm in a vowel foo and I want to reference the value of another vowel bar, I could just do at and then the username, like Steve Krause is my username, or at me to just reference my own username, dot bar, and then it would reference bar. So the idea there is imports as easy as tagging on Twitter. But then if you wanted to update bar, what we have is you could just update the variable from foo and the update will just persist to bar. So you could do at me dot bar plus plus. And if it was a number, it'll now just be one bigger than it was before. And vowels all have independent version history. So it just puts a new version of bar with, you know, that's a number one bigger.
One thing you said in the beginning there, Steve, was that it's more about where you run it, because we have all this code. We talk about the copy paste thing and the dead code on the internet. And I think that's really powerful, not just for beginners, because I definitely think that mindset. I used to teach, you know, coding bootcamp style web development 101, and getting people set up and running and like in troubleshooting environments was such a time suck for that. And that was full stack. It wasn't merely in the browser front end. So Valtown and other options like it are just a boon for teaching people and getting people started. Most of them, like we've been talking about, are front end oriented, whereas this is more of a full stack serverless option. And where is really cool, because on the website, you have some use cases like right there on the homepage that, even though it's great for beginners, actually speak to longtime developers as well, because there's certain things that we have to do and it's easy to code those things up. But then like the question I was always like, well, where is this going to run? You know, and we all have our solutions, like, well, maybe it is on Lambda because I already am an AWS expert and I can just get that thing going. Maybe I have a VPS that runs Linux and I put all my random crap on there. Maybe I have a few strewn about, you know, home network, home lab, like all these places. I have some cron jobs that run on my laptop. It's not a server, but it runs most of the time. And so I just cron job on my laptop and I let it run things. But then we ask ourselves, like, well, how do I email myself? You know, what's the easiest way to get myself a notification? And I've been doing this lately, you know, looking at like, well, how do I push notify myself reliably from anywhere in the world on a script, right? Just like pipe it into something that sends it to a thing versus me having to do a bunch of other things to get something done. Just like simply set up something small that scratches a particular itch. And you have cron jobs, you have email yourself, so you have scheduled, you have notifications built in. And for me as an experienced developer, even when I think about where, it's just like, well, you just throw it on Valtown. I have an account there, throw it on Valtown and let it email me. Let's schedule it with cron. And so I like that that focus is there from the beginning, where it seems attractive, not just to people trying to get started, but also people just sick of like having to manage where their code runs all the time. So I have a bunch of stuff that I could easily port, and it's JavaScript and TypeScript. I could just, you know, create a Valtown account and start moving stuff up there and not worry about, did that cron tab run because my laptop is closed?
Yeah, exactly. I think the early vision is we want to slurp up all the things you have scattered on random DigitalOcean droplets or servers you've been managing yourself, and manage those for you and in a more centralized place. Mm-hmm. But the long-term thing is just think about all the people and use cases that don't get built because it's just too cumbersome to like set that up, and they don't already have a running server that runs their cron jobs, or like they're not on their laptop and so they can't set it up. Like, you know, so many of the vowels I write are on my phone in bed or just like on the train or whatever.
You code on your phone in bed?
God.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's boy. My first hour of work this morning.
Let's stop here and enjoy for a moment.
Yeah. So a user I saw on Discord was having trouble getting, we just released a new version of the Valtown API that lets you search vowels and just like kind of just do more things you'd want to do with Valtown from the API. And so they piped our OpenAPI spec through a generator of an API client with like all the TypeScript types and everything, and they have it on GitHub. So you can actually import GitHub clients or whatever, GitHub code right from GitHub. Like, you don't have to publish it to NPM before you can use it in Valtown, because we use like, you know, through like ESM imports. So anyways, I was showing them how to do it all from my phone. I don't know, it took 20 minutes. And at the end of it, you know, I just copied the link to the Val, put it in the Discord, and they were off forking it and playing with it themselves.
Wow. So, and just to be clear, this is like you were showing them how to import code that's publicly available on GitHub.
Their code. So like,
oh, their code.
Yeah. So they made a GitHub package to that has like that's like an API client for Valtown that they were going to use to build a Raycast extension for Valtown. And I was like, oh, well, it'd be awesome to use this within Valtown to like interact with the Valtown API from within Valtown. Well, so like a reason why that's going to be cool is there's no way. So like there are a lot of events on Valtown that you might want to get notified about. Like if your Val threw an error when it ran at any time, like it ran via the API, ran via cron job and it threw an error, or someone liked your Val or someone referenced your Val. Like there are all sorts of things you'd want to get notified about. And so our current plan, it sounds maybe a little pie in the sky, and it might be, but our current plan is to build all of those notifications in user space. So there'll just be a Val that I write for myself that will pull for all these resources that I might care to be notified about. And if there are changes, it'll send me an email via console.email, like you were talking about. Valtown makes it so easy to email yourself. And then there could be like a bit of a marketplace on Valtown of these like custom notification filtering, throttling, debouncing functions. You know, it's all fully programmatic and customizable. Anyways, it's an experimental idea that we're excited about. So that's why I wanted to get the API client running on Valtown from GitHub.
Right. So at the end of this little snippet that you put from your phone, did you have a comment that said like sent from my phone? You know, like in your SIG? Did you put that in your SIG?
Nice.
Remember
nice.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Please disregard any typos sent from my phone.
Yeah. Well, I guess when you're on Valtown on your phone and you hit run, we could save that metadata somewhere. Like this Val was run from a phone.
Yeah. It's kind of like the old, Twitter, client metadata where it's like from Tweetbot or from back in the good old days.
Yeah, I feel like I need that line, but for anything I type which I haven't reread, be like, I have not reread this, so if this sounds weird, just FYI.
If this executes improperly, was not TDD.
Right.
Just a disclaimer.
Exactly.
I did not test
that's
this.
Funny.
That's cool. Well, it's okay. So for coding from your phone, coding from as a beginner or a person who is sick of managing things. The where is really important, but the question that comes to my mind when I look at a platform like this, which, looks nice and free and has a pro plan and blah, 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 is like, well, where is my code then? Where is Valtown? What's the address? What's the geo-coordinates of Valtown? Where does my code actually go?
Ohio. It goes to Ohio.
Ohio. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Everything right now is deployed on Render in their Ohio region.
Oh, so you weren't kidding. I thought
he was kidding and serious at the same time.
Oh, okay.
The best kind of kidding. Yeah.
Did you pick Ohio because it's like middle country?
Exactly. Yeah, it seemed like the middle of America seemed solid. We do have a lot of users like in China who probably hate our latency times, but it's fine for now. Most of Valtown can really scale horizontally and go to the edge when we have enough money to hire a team to do the whole edge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to architect with that in mind. But for now, Ohio is fine.
Ohio. Is it just stored in a database, like as a string or a text area, or like get into some of the architecture? Where actually is it?
Yeah, sure. So I guess starting from the bottom of the back end, everything's stored in a Postgres database. So all your code for your vals, your output for your vals. And this is why we recently added like a 100 kilobyte limit to what you can store in a Val, 250 kilobytes for the pro plan, because we just like can't be abusing Postgres with more than that in the JSON columns. But we'll probably soon move to like an R2 blob storage for like all the things that should be stored in R2, not Postgres. I guess one step above that would be like our execution environment is Dino, and we manage our own Dino servers that execute user code in a sandboxed, isolated kind of way. And we would kind of love to use another hosted service for that, like Cloudflare Workers or AWS Lambda or really any of them. We don't want to we would love to not have to manage a functions as a service platform. The reason we have been forced to is that we have this weird requirement where Valtown is as much a deployment platform as it is a IDE. And so if you hit run or hit save, your Val needs to run as fast as it would in a deployed, like your Val needs to run in like 50 milliseconds because like that's what you'd expect from like an IDE. But most of these functions as service platforms have like a couple of seconds of latency to like deploy your code because they're not focused on like someone doing rapid iteration. They're focused on like you've deployed it and now it's going to run for forever. So Anyways, maybe one of the functions of service platforms is listening to this and will consider taking pity on us and making a better latency deployment thing. But in the meantime, we're doing our deployments ourselves on Dino. And then in the middle, we have an API server that's just a node server. And then at the front end, it's a Remix React server. And all four of those services are hosted on Render.
Interesting. I'm just curious, like, why are they coupled? Specifically, like I'm going to run it locally versus like deploying it, right? I'm just curious why those two things are coupled at all. Like when you hit save, can there be a save as draft versus like save and deploy?
Well, so like when you're developing in Valtown, normally you're like, so you could be doing one of two things. You could be like writing a function, which is just, yeah, saving a function, which can happen pretty quickly. But then if you're like running arbitrary JavaScript to like test out the functions you've written, that's a thing you would do on Valtown that most functions as a service platforms don't have. And you're like testing out your Lambda function. You're not testing out your Lambda function from another Lambda function. You use Postman or something like that. But on Valtown, you're like, you have like a bit of, Valtown's a bit of a REPL environment.
Yeah.
And so we need that code to deploy instantly because it's a REPL.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So kind of like just shifting into kind of maybe the architecture of a Val. So like what languages can you use to write these little code snippets? And, you know, what, like, I'm curious also, do you plan to support different types of runtimes in the future?
So for the medium term, it's just going to be JavaScript and TypeScript, and everyone's going to be on the same version of Dino. In the slightly longer term, we might allow different JavaScript runtimes, like different versions of Dino or different, or maybe Node or Bun, like different JavaScript runtimes. And you could specify that at the Val level. And then in the longer term, we might allow other programming languages. But for now, like a lot of the benefits of having everything in that lingua franca environment that we were talking about, like those benefits are so great that we want to keep that for as long as possible. And like, I guess to be honest, it's just so much less of a developer complexity for us to maintain just the one environment. So we're going to stick with that for a long time.
Yeah, JavaScript is the universal solvent. So I get that. Good choice. And so, you know, I think one of the things that really got me excited about this was like seeing that one of the Vals available was like, do you have a form that you need to add to your website? Like, can you talk us through like how that works and just like, you know, being able to kind of leverage a Val to like take data that someone's typing onto your static site and then, you know, having that go somewhere, right? So
yeah, Valtown's a really great pairing for like a static site like Astro or I don't know, any of the static site generators. So you can do the whole thing 100% on Valtown. So Valtown's server-side compute, but you can return HTML from a server. And now we're doing front-endy things. So I think the way the Astro like button, there was a blog post someone wrote, I think the way he did it was he just had one route that, like a kind of a basic get route. He made a Val that was an express handler Val. So there are a couple different types of Vals. You can just write a function, just a JavaScript function, or you can write an express JS handler that takes a request object and a response object and, you know, returns a response. So if it's a get request, he'll return like a like button component and the number of likes just as an HTML string that he'll construct in the Val. And if it's a post request that's hitting this express handler, then he'll like, you know, add one to the count, like we were talking about before, because you can persist data in Valtown. And that's it. It's really just like six lines, you know, the core concepts are just, you know, six lines. You can do more complicated things. I think he was doing like fingerprinting to make sure that you can only hit the like button a certain number of times because, you know, it'll like try and fingerprint your browser.
So where's the BTC miner Val? That's my question. Fork that, run that.
Yeah, that's funny. We haven't seen any abuse really on Valtown. We've had a couple of people try.
Oh, like, just wait.
I know. It'll happen. It'll happen. Hopefully it'll happen when we like have the resources to deal with it.
Yeah.
That would be nice, you know?
Totally.
Just, yeah, like we should put a notice up on our website, like, hackers, just wait until we raise our next round of funding before you...
we'll really be able to support this operation when we have more money. Any public platform deals with abuse, and if you haven't yet, you know, success will just bring that. And so, yeah, hopefully it aligns with a time when you're fleshed out as a business enough to be able to deal with it as it comes up, because it certainly will. I can't remember who we were talking to most recently about that on the show, but we were talking about even GitHub's actions and how much GitHub Actions is actually just like they're fighting it off constantly. And it's just like, well, whenever you provide free public compute at any scale, you know, they'll scale it horizontally across your free plans in order to in order to get it done. But in the good days right now, you know, you don't have to, thankfully, you don't have to worry about it right now, and hopefully they won't find you for a long time. This is a changelog news break. Have you already asked ChatGPT how to design a good UI for your new AI app and gotten back Bubkiss? Well, check out LangUI, an open source Tailwind library of 60 plus responsive and dark mode enabled components tailored for AI and GPT projects. What exactly does that mean? It means prompt containers, history panels, sidebars, message inputs, and all sorts of stuff that are chatbot related. So you can stop asking ChatGPT and build your own ChatGPT with a sweet UI. You just heard one of our five top stories from Monday's Changelog News. Subscribe to the podcast to get all of the week's top stories and pop your email address in at changelog.com/news to also receive our free companion email with even more developer news worth your attention. Once again, that's changelog.com/news. You mentioned Dan Levine from Excel as being kind of the Kickstarter to this idea and you building it. I also was looking at your list of people involved, the team, and I noticed Ross Butcher or Boucher, I'm not sure how his last name is pronounced, as an advisor. And Ross, I remember Ross from way back in the Cappuccino days. I'm actually one of a Cappuccino user from like the aughts. So I was a big 280 North fan from Francisco Tomalski. Ross and the third founder, I'm gapping it now. I've had him on the changelog. Jared here in post. Tom Robinson is his name. Sorry about that, Tom. So I apologize for gapping that. But yeah, Ross immediately, I was like, that name sounds familiar. He's also doing Runkit, right? So Runkit's a thing. I don't know much about Runkit. I know it's popular amongst some. And he's an advisor. So it seems like Runkit and Valtown have a lot of crossovers. Has he been instrumental in the design? And like, he probably knows how to do a lot of these things, maybe even fighting fraud and abuse.
So Runkit was one of the main inspirations of Valtown, I would say. Runkit's a really cool platform. It's still embedded in npm, so if you want to like try any npm package out, that Runkit is just right there embedded, which is awesome. And Ross is great. He also is like at least partially responsible for the early Stripe API.
Oh, yeah.
And making
that
so beloved by everybody. So he's like
a talented guy.
Yeah. He's really wonderful at building developer products. And it's awesome that I get to chat with him all the time and get his advice on things. Dan introduced us. Dan, and he became, I don't know how they became friends. Dan's wife, Christina, was very early at Stripe. So that's probably how they all got to know each other.
Well, it sounds like you have some smart people behind what you're up to, which is always a vote of confidence. Let's talk about the business side of things, because anytime you're going to adopt any sort of platform, you're thinking, will this exist in 3 years?
Yeah.
And especially if I'm going to put my code there. Now, thankfully, it's probably relatively portable as long as I have small functions and they're vanilla JS or TS for the most part. Obviously, there'll be some Val-specific APIs that I'm calling in there, but probably portable as just the risk, you know, risk assessment from an adopter standpoint. But what about from a business standpoint? Like I mentioned, there's a pricing plan.
Yeah.
What's the business going to look like? Where does the pricing plan come in? When do I start paying as a user? And then how are you going to actually keep Valtown around and not have to close down the town, not turn it into a ghost town?
Yeah. Great questions. Yeah. I first want to address the point about like developer lock-in and risk.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely the first to be risk averse when it comes to adopting new technologies. So I got an email from someone who was trying to get me to be the first customer of their developer tool, and I was like, "No, I'm sorry, it's too early. I don't want to be the first customer." And he was like, "Isn't that a little
hypocritical?"
Yeah, like isn't Valtown like a new developer tool? Like, how do you expect people to adopt it? And like my answer is like that's why we're so specifically going after hobbyist and amateur use cases right now. Like there are a couple of businesses or maybe a bunch of businesses who are using Valtown, but like they know they're like they're bringing their like fun hobby thing to work, and they're not expecting more than that because of how we're doing the branding. And sooner rather than later, I think it'll become a mature platform. And anyways, it'll be more obvious that you'll want to use it at work. But anyways, we're trying to slow roll that for this very reason. If you're only using it for kind of small things that you don't care about too much to begin with, like we were saying before, one of the exciting things about Valtown are the things that wouldn't have gotten built before because they were just too hard to get built. Now will actually exist in the world because they're so easy. You can just do them on your phone as a hobby thing. So yeah, that's what we want to win to start and like build trust over time. But anyways, back to your point about lock-in. There is, I think we have like 8 or 12 Valtown specific things that you're going to have to replace if you want your code to run without like changing any of the code. And we are working on knocking each of those down one by one so that Valtown is like fully a web standard compliant platform. And really there's just like 1 or 2 or 0 of these things to get your Valtown code to run anywhere that JavaScript runs, Node, Dino, Bun, whatever. Well, not anywhere. Like, I don't know if you can get it running on like every different deployed runtime, but at least locally on any of these platforms with very minimal tweaking. So that's like an ongoing project.
That's really cool. Yeah, you've got some like domain specific things that are like you mentioned that are, these are APIs that are specific to Valtown. They're like invisible because obviously it's like all in the execution context. So like everything's preloaded. So things just work if I type at blah, 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 right? But
yeah.
You know, I think a potential out for you all could be also just giving people like access to the, I don't know, polyfills or whatever, right? So maybe it's like an export out of Valtown where it's like here, you know.
Yeah.
In Valtown, it's 50 lines. Outside of Valtown, maybe it's 120 or something, right? Like, but you can give people like an out that way so you don't have to pollute the API for like a use case that you're not as invested in, right? So just some free advice.
Yeah. yeah. That might be, I think that's kind of the intermediate plan where we're heading.
It gets harder and harder the more you guys do.
We think that web standards are just the answer. So like, for example, the at symbol, like you were referencing, like it's so great, but it's like a little bit too much magic. And then it's our own thing. And it's like really complicated and costly to maintain. Mm-hmm. And so the current plan is that in the future, you'll type at stevekraus.foo like you normally do now. But then when you like, go to accept this completion, it doesn't actually accept it that way. It'll just complete to foo, and then we'll add at the top of your file an import foo from, and then in quotes, vt/Steve Krause/foo.
Yeah.
And so we'll get the best of both worlds. The import store will be totally web standard. You can copy and paste that code. It'll work everywhere. There's no at symbol anymore, which is an invalid JavaScript identifier. But in terms of the developer experience, it'll be just as fluid as it was before. So hopefully it'll be the best of both worlds. That's the current plan. But we're actually using your idea of like a polyfill kind of transpilation method. It will be like the halfway house. So like old style Valtown code will work with new Valtown style code through transpilation. So hopefully it'll just take a couple of months to work through these non-web standard decisions that I made a year ago that I want to unwind.
Yeah, no. And thank you so much for sharing that insight and your thought process and the kind of where you are on the decision tree. You know, I think it's one of the things when you're designing an API for public consumption, it's every decision, like small or big, like, you know, you're kind of stuck with it once it's out in the universe, and it's really hard. And so I would advise you, like, don't feel rushed to make this decision. Like, take your time. Like, you know, it's because once you release it, it's out there. So just, you know, don't let the community pressure you into having an answer for that right away. But I will say there's kind of two halves of this, right? There's actually getting your code or your quote unquote Val, right, to run. But there's also data, right? So to use your example from earlier, so Astro has a like button that they've kind of got hooked up and working through a Val. And so those like counts, I would want to kind of be able to export that, right? So I'd want to know like, Hey, at what point did, when was the last time that this was working, right? So let's say you went down, I'd be like, did I just lose like 3 days worth of data if I wanted to move it to a different service? Like, you know, so are you letting people just export their data? Is there somewhere they can query and get that JSON, or are you going to use R2 for that? Like Cloudflare's R2? Like, I'm just curious, like, what's the plan there?
Yeah. So similarly, we want to move away from like our magic persistence to a straightforward key value store that will be replaceable by like any key value store.
Got it.
We're really taking our time with that API because there's no like web standard key value store really. Like, do we just use Redis? That's really like complicated. Do we do something very simple? Anyways, we're thinking through what that API will be. But we want it to be so simple that you can choose your own, like while you're still using Valtown, swap out your data store for something else, or if Valtown goes away, you can use whatever you want. We don't want to lock you in to any Valtown magic with the key value store. Yeah, right now, Val persistence is just another Val. That's like kind of the idea behind the name Valtown. Like everything in Valtown's a Val, like functions are Vals, express handlers are Vals, JSON data is a Val. Like they're all values because JavaScript has first class functions, first class data, yeah. So it's easy to get stuff out, get stuff in.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell you to reuse the local storage API. I certainly wouldn't do that.
Yeah. It's an idea we considered, you know, like it's nice to have something you can point to that, like this is a web standard.
Yeah, but it's a dying one. But then like on the flip side of that, like IndexedDB is not exactly a great API either, right? Like there's entire libraries created to just say like, this is really painful to work with without a library, you know? So you kind of beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you about like, what is the name? Like what is in that name? Val, right? Like, and it's so funny, once upon a time, baby ML used to like all her functions would I would use the variable name retval, like RTEVAL, return value. Nice. You know, that was my like go-to name for like, if I needed to just like come up with
you
something.
Couldn't think of a better one.
Exactly. On the spot, I'm like retval, you know. So that was it. So
I just called mine data, you know, var equals data. I'm like, this is the data that we're dealing with here.
I love it.
That's pretty precise, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. Super precise. But yeah, that's cool. So Val. And so can we talk about the community aspect here, right? So there's this whole sharing is caring kind of mantra in Valtown where, like you said, like you want the first thing anyone does, you know, before they create a Val is to make sure that there isn't one that already exists that does the thing that they want. And so can you talk a little bit about the kind of just what that journey has been like for you, kind of creating kind of a town square for Vals, right? Because, you know, how the discoverability of it and that whole thing and like, you know, what's that been like? And I'm sure there's a lot of organic elements, but I'm just curious, like for the stuff that isn't organic, like how does your team help put that together?
Yeah. So a lot of our community happens in Discord, which I didn't make the Discord. This is my second like developer community. The first one was The Future of Coding, which started out as a podcast that I made just to talk about developer tooly kind of things, and then a Slack community kind of sprung up around my podcast, which was very fun, and that's still going on without me. This Discord community is going well. I don't know how many people are in it now. Whenever you message everyone in Discord, it just says, this will message over 500 people. So there are over 500 people. It's pretty chatty. We have like four or five people who are like kind of in there every day asking questions, coming up with ideas. Those are my friends. I didn't know them before now, but I like them a lot. It's fun to have some really passionate users always pushing the edges of things. And there's a lot that happens in Discord that I would like over time to push into the product. So like we added comments on every Val, so anyone can comment on a Val. The behavior now is you make a cool Val, you copy and paste it into the Discord, and then people will comment on it on Discord. But we want to push that into the platform. You can like Vals, and we have a trending filter, so you can like just browse trending Vals, like a front page of Valtown. But it's a little bit buried, and there are sometimes interesting things there.
So you guys don't have like categories, for example, or tags, or like how does one discover a Val? Like how do I even just browse Vals like by type or whatever else? Like I'm just, you know, how does that?
All the social networking features.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right now you can just search for Vals for exact text match. Like it's like a Postgres I like query. That's as good as we've got for searching. We've been resisting going to like Elasticsearch just to reduce the complexity of things. But yeah, maybe tags are in my future. I've built tagging systems before. Maybe I will again. Yeah.
It's a feature that doesn't take long to develop, but it takes a long time to dispose of. later because you're like, oh, I can't believe I built this again. And here I am with tags, you know, 6 years later. Yeah. And they're just a mess. And you're like, why'd I ever do that?
Like, maybe is this an application for AI? Like, we don't actually build tags, but we ask like our AIs to tag things for us, or I don't know.
Yeah. Or you just have a model that's trained on like all the new vowels and, mm-hmm. and incoming mm-hmm. vowels. And then someone just like talks to a chatbot and, you know, that's like search of the future. Right. So it's like, I want to do this kind of thing. And then the AI would be like, all right, like, well, we don't have anything that does exactly this, but if you combine these three vowels, you can do it, you know, or here's one vowel and then you just modify it. And, you know, so that could be a very useful way of handling that.
Totally. I think that's really programming of the future. You getting to use, so it's not only like will AI be writing code for you, but it won't actually be rewriting everything. It'll pull runnable bits of code from other people that have been like verified. So that's like part of what Valtan is doing. It's like when I make a little helper utility val, it's like a mini NPM package that, it's just like an atomic usable snippet of code. Mm-hmm.
Do you expect people to ever have full-fledged systems? It sounds like you kind of did, that are all just like a bunch of vowels put together.
Yeah, that's the dream.
So are there facilities in there to make that scalable and fast? I mean, I just feel like you're putting all your functions inside a Postgres database, right? At the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, sure, there's caching and there's warm-up and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, that could all run on one machine really fast, but we're going to run it on 75 machines across this network of vowels that you guys have, just a distributed network. It's kind of like the microservices thing over again at the function level. And so what are your thoughts on that?
I think there are going to be a lot of challenges. Like, I think it's going to be really hard to pull this off. Like you could pick a number of different directions. Like where my brain goes is, let's say you have 10 or 100 functions that represent your backend. And now you want to make a change. In a normal server, this would be a pull request where you'd have changes across them, and you'd make a branch, which is like a fork of all 100 functions. You'd get like a little temporary environment, a copy of this environment. And then you'd have a pull request. Can we have like a change sets or like a pull request against 10 or 100 vowels? You know,
right.
I don't know. I hope so. Like at the extreme, or like if I really succeed, I'm going to have to build kind of like all of GitHub over again into Valtan.
Right.
And so you'll put like 100 vowels in a folder and you'll hit like fork and it will create a branch of that folder that clones all your vowels into a new environment. But what's nice about that is it's all instantly deployed. You hit the fork button, boom, you have a deployed fork with its own name, like a preview branch. Then you go make your changes. And then now you want to do a pull request to a folder of vowels across 100.
Right.
Conceptually, it's possible. That's the sort of thing that hopefully is a couple of rounds of VC funding away for me, so I can have like a whole team that can work on it.
Yeah, I think the real question is really just if you do succeed in that, is it called Valtown or is it called like Val City, Val Metropolis, you know,
right.
Val Planet, you know,
I upgrade.
Like, yeah, like is there like are there going to be tiers?
Val Universe.
Val Universe. Yes.
Val Galaxy.
Or you just rebrand to Veta, you know. Just kidding. I don't know if anybody got the...
Well, maybe if we take the Twitter analogy, sorry, the X analogy.
Oh, God.
Because you're inspired by that. And vowels are kind of your tweet, right? And then you have threads. And we talked about this a little bit. And I could see you threading together 5, 6, maybe 7.
Sure.
But nobody writes a book, a novel, and publishes it on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
So maybe like that whole thing is just like, you know what? That is a different project. And maybe those two are simpatico and they play nice together. And, you know, every platform has to have its thing. And usually where you start is where you end, even though you may try to change it into something else. Mm. And so maybe it won't ever be that full-fledged application delivery platform. And maybe that's just okay. I mean, maybe the VCs don't think that's okay. And that's something Steve will have to wrestle with. But I think Valtown could be incredibly successful just by staying at this in this micro
space
world. There's so much you can do with 5, 6, or 7 functions that are shareable and like just publicly deployed and this kind of stuff. So I can see where like that could be the dream, but maybe it doesn't have to be.
And it's a very clever API too. I just want to put that out there. Like, I really love the fact that I'm like, wow, this is like,
it is cool.
A creative spin on like the power and the beauty of the web. You know, I love the, like you can add parameters to the URL, you know, in order to pass things into a val function. Like that's pretty cool. And I know if you want to do things fancier, you can, there's like a whole express kind of style API that you can use for more complex data, but I think it's pretty neat. So I agree with Jared, like there's a lot of magic and productivity and I think success in just keeping it simple, you know? So
yeah, we will for a while. Someone in the Discord came in yesterday and was like, can I abuse Valtown to like make it a whole backend for my mobile app? And he like had a number of requirements that he wanted to know if we could scale to handle. And it was like, yeah, we want to try. I guess that's what I hope success looks like, where people use us for small things. We're good at small things, and then they abuse us for big things, and we can try to smooth out those rough edges over time. But maybe you're right. Maybe it won't be possible maybe books will never be written on Twitter. Maybe whole backends will never be written on Valtown.
Well, I think you could probably do it. I mean, I don't know if there's a thread count limit on Twitter. I think you could probably publish a book on Twitter.
A novel.
Yeah. And yeah. I just don't think it's advisable, you know, and maybe that's the case with Valtown. Like, yeah, you can do it. We made it technically possible. It was really hard. Mm. And some companies are getting to that size. Maybe they're novellas, you know, but it's just not advisable. Like maybe you just need your own application delivery network for that. And, you know, you could also scale the size of a val perhaps. You know, and I think that's kind of where your price, we didn't get into your pricing yet. I think that's where it comes in.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, we talk about small functions and I think 5 lines, 3 lines, 17 lines, right? But what if a val was a macro service, so to speak, in the analogy? And now you have these, like in the case of a mobile app, you have endpoints and maybe one val represents an endpoint. And that might not be a simple small thing eventually. Maybe that's has its own little subroutines. And there's like an API that val publishes. I'm not sure how big that could get, but then you have basically each endpoint is a val and that might have its own things and be bigger than we're thinking about it. Just an idea of a way of tackling the same thing. I don't think Valtown is too simple for endpoints for a mobile app. I think like that makes, conceptually, I think that that's safe, but endpoints for Stripe, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess it just like scale is funny. Like, are we talking a company with 1 employee, 5 employees, 10 employees, 1,000 employees, you know, like it really changes.
Yeah. Each order of magnitude. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're like Valtown will never be used by companies with 1,000 employees for their backend. Sure. I that might be true, but like a 1,000-person company will use Valtown to like share snippets of code.
Sure.
And to like explain their API docs to other people, you know, like enterprises will use Valtown internally, will use Valtown to like show off their API externally, or at least that's the dream.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stripe is never going to move its architecture over and that's fine.
Well, I'm speaking like application scale. Yeah, totally. Well, speak to the pricing then. So in terms of scale, at a certain point, I do start paying as a user. And of course, this is what keeps the lights on. So what's your plan there and how does that work?
Yeah. So currently, we only have one plan. It's a pro plan at $10 a month. And it's, flat rate. We let you run intervals more frequently. So right now, the limit on the free plan is you can run an interval every 15 minutes. And on the pro plan, it's every 1 minute. But we might be increasing or decreasing, depending on how you think about it, the limit on the pro plan to be once a second. We'll see if we can handle that. I also mentioned how much persistence you can store in a val is like slightly different on each of the plans. Another thing we're going to add really soon, I think, we just launched yesterday that you can email a val. So if my val is stevekraus.foo, that's the name of the val, you can email stevekraus.foo@valtown.email. And it will trigger the val and it'll pass in the parameters of that email as the first argument of the function of the val, which is cool. So it's like it pairs with console.email, which is how you'd email yourself from a val. But one of our long-term features people have been asking for is they want to email other people that are not themselves from Valtown. But we've resisted that because of email spam reasons. But we think we're going to open that up for pro users because it'll be easy to like detect that behavior and turn it off if our pro users, you know, because they're tied to a credit card and whatnot. So yeah, so like little things like that, you know, things that cost us money, things that are potential for abuse, we gate those behind the pro plan. And right now we don't want you to think about the pro plan as like you're paying for compute, you're paying for more like things around the edges, like being able to email arbitrary people or run intervals all the freaking time. Over time, we're going to have to charge for compute if you want to do crazy amounts of compute, like above $10 a month. You know, in theory, you should be able to do as much compute as you want on us, and we'll just kind of charge you for that proportionately. But we haven't reached that scale yet.
That's super neat. Yeah, I would say please just, my only ask of you, Steve, is just like, the sooner you can have a server that's not just based in Ohio, the better, right? The internet is for everybody. So if you have users in China, like let's get some servers in Asia, right? So I, you know, just that would be nice. But that being said, like I'm just curious, like it's been so insightful hearing you talk about this early stage product that's obviously gained quite a bit of momentum. I'm curious to kind of hear about the decisions behind your stack. You mentioned a little bit earlier that you were using Remix, especially for the front end. Like, out of curiosity, I went and looked up some statistics in the Chrome user report around like what frameworks were popular and what the numbers are in the wild, etc. And Remix came up with, I think, roughly 1,500 sites in the wild. And I was, you know, I jokingly made a comment to a friend of mine that I'm pretty sure like 1200 of those 1500 sites are like demo apps, but obviously I was just joking. So I'm just curious, like, what was the decision behind kind of choosing Remix and also just what decisions you were making, like when evaluating your front end stack?
This really is more of a question for my co-founder, Tom Mackwright. I guess kind of how we became friends is I was like following him on the internet, and I just loved, like, he tries all the new JavaScript technologies and writes good reviews about them. And so he did a good hard look at Next and Remix and maybe a couple others, but it was really between those two. And he went with Remix, which I was happy with. I've used Next in the past and it's fine. It's like, it feels maybe a little heavier weight than Remix. Like, Remix kind of fits more of our vibe of like web standardy kind of things, but
it's fast. Yeah. Faster for sure.
Yeah. And like it's like a little bit less proprietary kind of a vibe, but I'm a huge fan of Vercel and Next. So, and depending on where these platforms go, I would not be shocked if a year from now I came back on the show and I was like, and here's why we moved to Next. that could definitely be in our future.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Well, I'm super excited about Valentine. We do have a couple questions coming in from our chat, by the way, JS Party listeners. If you're not in the Changelog community Slack, why not? It's totally free. Head to jsparty.fm/community, join there, hang out with us, talk while we record shows, talk in between shows. Why not, right? So here's from Darcy Clark. Hey, we know Darcy Clark, don't we, Amel? He was just on the show a couple weeks ago with the NPM manifest confusion. Is that what it's called? I love that term, if I got it right. So Darcy's been playing with Valtown, and he has a question. He says, is there a way today, or do you plan to support dynamic references? For example, today if I do at username.val, and usernames in brackets, it doesn't work, so there's no way to export users or references. So I guess it would be like with sharing purposes, like maybe you can't do that. Maybe you understand the question better than I do as the platform creator.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, we don't support that now. So the reason we don't support that now is because of the like magical way that imports work today. That's quite limited, which is part of why like moving to web standards will be so exciting and important of a project. So right now we parse the code for all of your references statically. We bundle those references in before the code even starts to run. So that's why we currently don't allow dynamic imports. But in the future, in the very near future, like in the next month or two, dynamic imports will just work.
Whoa.
Okay. There you go, Darcy. It'll just work. Hang out for a month or two.
Like import, like await import, and then, you know, just give it a string and you can construct that string dynamically. So I guess already you can do dynamic imports in Valtown. You can do imports in Valtown, and you can, if you can construct, well, actually we try to block dynamic string construction, but there are ways around it. Some of our users have figured out, and I can let you in on the secret.
Okay. Well, if there are ways around it, Darcy will find them because he is a security buff and he likes to find ways around things. In fact, he has another question about security things that maybe I'll ask in the post show, just in case.
I have some security things too. I'm like, I have security questions. Well, I mean, this has been a burning question in general, but why don't we go with Darcy's second question first, actually?
So are there future plans to sanitize secrets and values to protect users? It seems like it's pretty easy to expose those in Vals today, and he has some code.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's a great question. If you ever create a secret that exposes, if you ever create code that exposes your own secrets, you could delete code from Valtown, you know, immediately. So, or you can, send us a message and we'll make sure it's totally gone. That's easy enough. Or if you see someone else expose a secret, just let us know. We'll remove that for them. But yes, we do have an idea, a couple ideas to help protect you from like shooting yourself in the foot in this way, for sure. So one idea we have that I think is easy enough to build that we'll probably do in the next month or two is we'll just check on any output that you're doing from Valtown. We'll just check it against all of your secrets. And if we see any of your secrets in the output, we'll just like redact it and send you a message. So that's simple enough. Maybe we'll build on that and like do a secret detector that if we like see like a random looking string, we'll say we think this is a secret and we've redacted it. Like, let us know if it's not a secret and we'll like, you know, show people what it is. So anyways, there's a lot we can do there.
Or hopefully AI. You can use AI for that. I mean, quite frankly, you don't have to, you know, like, but yeah, like definitely I think that hopefully somebody open sources that in general, because I think that's a very useful thing, like a smart linter, you know, one that isn't just, like using a regex, right? But yeah, so my question is just kind of around, you know, I know that like Cloudflare, for example, like Cloudflare workers are all, you know, they have very kind of tight execution contexts, everything's sandboxed, but things are running on the same machine, right? Like from different companies, from different requests, et cetera. And so I'm just curious, like how you all have taken that consideration into your architecture and, you know, what guarantees security here?
So right now, most of our security model is coming from Dino, which that's like kind of their main value proposition that it offers pretty tight security guarantees. But over time, we'll probably just keep wrapping things in containers to just doubly and triply secure you. I think that's kind of what people do these days. Like you create an enclave, then you create another, then you whatever. You create a number of things. What's the one? The Amazon... I always forget the name. Amazon's open sourced container runtime thing that they use internally for Lambda. Anyways, I'm sure someone listening, I'm sure most people listening to this.
Blazor? Razor?
No.
Phaser. Let's just call it Blazor. Move on.
Yeah, we can move on. Yeah, right now we're doing pretty well. We just like in the history of the company, we have had some exploits found from like white hat hackers, and it's been amazing. Like we have a really, like I think Valtown attracts the kind of person who loves to escape sandboxes.
Yeah.
And so we have users who spend so much time, like all they're trying to do is like find exploits in Valtown and escape our sandbox. And so it gives me so much confidence in our platform because we have these brilliant people who have found all these exploits, reported them, we've closed them, we've improved the security of the system to a point where we haven't gotten an exploit reported in many, many months. So I'm feeling very, very secure about things these days.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and congrats on your product journey and can't wait to see Valtown become city and metropolis and planet universe, you know, eventually rebrand, obviously, because, you know, just kidding. But yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, listener, the website, if we haven't said it enough times on this show, is val.town. Cool use of one of those new top level domains. Check it out. Let us know what you think in the comments. We'd love to hear from you what you're building and share the code that you build. Put some vowels out there to the world. Come into our JS Party channel and share your vowels with us and we can collaborate on some cool public code. That is the show for this week. Steve, thanks once again for joining us. This has been awesome. Amel, thank you so much for co-piloting a real human with me today, not a GitHub co-pilot. And I can't avoid that joke anytime it comes across my radar, even though I've said it 17 times on the show. Okay, I'm going to hit this outro button before I keep talking more. Bye, y'all. It's been fun. ChangeLog++ members, stick around for a bonus. after we said goodbye, Amel couldn't help but ask Stevie, this question.
What's this journey been like for you? And what do you think have been some of the like biggest kind of aha moments from this, both from protecting the API of Valtown, as well as just your own like leadership as someone who's kind of at the forefront of this project?
Thanks again to our partners at Fastly, Fly, and TypeSense for helping us bring you awesome pods each and every week. And to our Beat Freakin' residents, the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Next up on the pod, Nick and I are joined by web dev and prolific blogger Jim Nielsen to discuss Dino KV and language level toll roads, when and how to quit, and the stratification of social networking. It's a good one, so stay tuned. We'll have that episode all ready for you next week.